Hi everyone and welcome to another episode of Globalized Asian. Rahul Ithape is an art enthusiast whose brainchild, Nakshi.com, is providing digital marketplace for artists and allowing them to sell their original artwork directly to potential customers and further enhance their earning potential through product personalization via merchandising. Nakshi.com is a startup based out of UK who are empowering artists around the globe with clever business model. Let's hear it from its CEO and founder, Rahul Ithape. So Rahul, welcome to Sunny Kent. Before we talk about your venture, Nakshi, let's understand the motivation of why you needed the urge to start something new, or not something new, but something of your own.
Before I started Nakshi, as I always wanted to do something for society, giving back to society, that's how my upbringing was. And I was just getting my passion, or I was not able to discover what I'm really passionate about until this happened, when I tried to pitch some few artists and I felt the struggle they are going through, and it is difficult for them to get into any galleries in London, and going to big exhibitions is a big problem. And that's where I thought, I always wanted to do something for the other people, and why can't I do this for these people who are really struggling.
Mm. We are talking about artists.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And yes. These are, what kind of artists are they?
Yeah, so basically they are all visual artists. So when I say visual art, it covers paintings, illustrations, printmaking, sculpting.
But independent artists. These
are all independent artists. These are all individual independent artists. Some of them are professional artists, some of them are just, they are like, it's like born talent, or they're doing as a hobby, but they are all independent artists, and that's the reason they probably, they're struggling to reach to the more people, and obviously international platform is something, it's a dream for many people, because they can't even reach a wider population in their locality. So, yeah, so... This gave me a good reason to start something on my own, not for making money, or the whole purpose of not making money, but to help wider people and make big social impact.
Okay.
And the seed of this, making this big social impact, was kind of planted when I was in Tata Motors, when I met Mr. Ratan Tata. And that's where I thought, if that one person, what one person with passion and dream and vision can make, and what a big impact it can be on society and, you know, the wider population. And that's where that seed of thought planted in my mind, that I should do something for people one day when I'm able to do it for other people.
Okay.
And being passionate about art and craft, and being driven towards creative things, I thought this is what I always wanted to do.
And are you an artist yourself?
I'm not kind of a professional artist, but I love, as I mentioned, I'm very much driven towards creative things. I love doing graphic design myself, or even doing some sketches sometimes. When I do that, I just enjoy that, and it kind of meditation for me, or it is like peace of mind, and you flow with the serenity of the artwork, and I really enjoy that. So yeah,
that's really interesting. And this is apart from doing your day job as well. So, but coming back to Nakshi, what is Nakshi about? Let's talk about your platform and what you hope to bring with it.
Yeah. So Nakshi is basically the meaning of Nakshi is like artistic pattern, or engraving, or intricate design. And the history of Nakshi, when I was looking for the perfect name for my platform, which will kind of represent artists and the artwork, legacy of artists and the kind of artistic message. So the Nakshi name came from South Asia, and you can find the reference of Nakshi from 5 centuries back, when it was used in West Bengal in the name of Nakshikanta, as in hand embroidery on clothes. It's used in Gujarat, it's used in Maharashtra and in Andhra and Telangana region they used for cladding on the metal for gold ornaments and for so they basically use as the name of that art form is Ithadi art Nakshikala, which is nothing but intricate engravings and carvings on the metal. And even I was really surprised to know that in one of the African languages called Swahili, so in Swahili language nakshi means engravings.
Okay.
So we got it has references in Urdu, Hindi, Swahili language in Africa, and in South Asia, especially in India, it is widely used to represent art of artistic patterns and design, and it represents legacy of Naksha artists, which used to be there from during the Mughal empires, and it was kind of had 5 century back history. So I thought that really represents the my mission.
Globally, it had a unilateral meaning.
Yeah.
But who decided? Whose brainchild was it to come with that name?
So I basically obviously I didn't started Nakshi from the day one. I didn't name it as Nakshi from the day one. I started as a LinkedIn forum called Global Artist Book, and it started with Global Artist Book as in LinkedIn forum to discuss artist problems and all that. But obviously I was looking for it was my brainchild. Nakshi was my brainchild. I was reading about different things and trying to get a name which represents my passion, and it is like catchy name or people can remember. There should be some history about it, and it should be realistic or kind of it should not feel like artificial kind of thing. So Nakshi, since my childhood I use Nakshi for describing the good design or the intricate embroidery or something like that. So I thought, why can't I use Nakshi as in my name or platform? Then I started searching through domain names and trademarks, and I got registered trademark in UK. I'm filing it global for global trademark as intellectual property. I got domain names, and I got like almost 100 variations of Nakshi registered and secured through intellectual property.
Right.
So that was a good start when I started to finalize Nakshi.
Interesting. Yeah. So we understand you have a corporate background. You worked in across sectors around the various countries that your work took you around. So do you think that kind of gave you confidence or a boost in order to start from an employee to become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, the strong corporate background of the last 14, 15 years really gave me confidence. Because the one common thing, when I decided to take this final call of doing this, I felt that I can do it, that night when I didn't sleep for 48 hours, the only thing constantly kept in my mind is, if I look back at my corporate history, in each company I worked in, I made significant impact. And I realized that I can really do. I made it big in Tata Motors. I saved crores of money with Tata's Indigo station wagon marina vehicle. I saved money with some value engineering, and it was got notice. I got cash award. I got chance to meet even Ratan Tata during Tata NO, and I did good work there as well. I worked with IBM's client. I saved a lot of money. I got so what I noticed is that when I worked with Tata Motors or IBM or Accenture, and with different clients, I really made big impact. I solved their pain points. I worked on the pain points and come up with some innovative solutions. And I made some.
Can you give us a couple of examples, Rahul?
Yeah. So when I was working in US with one of the IBM's client, Home Depot, I've been told to work on area where they were in really there were a lot of problems in that area, and it was like their pain area. And when I traveled to US, this is the first day of the meeting I had with the business head of that particular area, the international business, it is like trade compliance department of Home Depot, the one of the client. So after conversation with him, I realized that there are several issues, and these guys are really upset with the IT. And then I just listed, I said, just give me your 10 problems which I can work on, and I'll give you realistic timelines, and whether I can fix it or not, I'll tell you straight away. And that he just that made conversation very subjective, and he just listed 10 points, and that really helped me. I mean, that really helped in kind of him understanding what real. So I told him to list 8 priorities, and then he realized that okay, actually, whatever he was talking for 1 hour, there's only 3 problems, which like 80-20. So I applied 80-20 rule and
tackle problems in a realistic way.
Exactly, and then I fixed those 3 problems of out of 10, and it solved the 80% problems, and they were happy. And it was I did few things which they would have never imagined that saved their number of headcounts, the money they're paying to broker custom brokers, and a lot of savings.
Mm.
Similarly, when I worked in the beginning of my career, when I worked with another company called Custom Capsules, which is Asset Capsule Group company, I was very like junior engineer there, and I reduced price of they were importing some capsule machines in US, and I was able to manage cost reduction from of one part from 40 rupees to say from 1200 rupees to 40 rupees, and that is kind of 1000% cost reduction, and our director in US was very happy, and so that was like significant kind of small works, but people in those organizations felt that couldn't be possible, but I made it possible with some other way.
Mm.
In Tata Motors, I managed to save a lot of money with one of the component roof rail, which Marina, which was bottleneck in the launch of Marina.
Right.
So during all these corporate things, I learned a lot from a lot of people, which helped me now in building Nakshi and shaping the Nakshi.
Sure.
In terms of managing the risk and you know covering all aspects of the business from finance to marketing to you know the whole aspect of running day-to-day operations. So obviously it helped me, it gave me confidence and I think if I had done this business or if I had come into this way doing something on my own like 10 years back, I would not be that confident or successful that time, because it helped, made a lot of difference. Yeah.
So before we get into understanding a little bit about how you run Nakshi and what the roadblocks are, for the benefit of listeners, you essentially provide a platform where all independent artists, small art houses come together and they use that as a platform to sell the products. In terms of the target audience, in terms of the criteria for selection of these artists, what do you look for? How do you want to build Nakshi as a brand for artists and the one-stop shop where people want to come to you and just register at Nakshi?
Yeah, so you briefly correctly. So basically, we are aggregator, we are platform. Because the whole mission of Nakshi started with solving problems. So I did the same problem solving approach. I listed the problems of artists in my forum, Global Artist Book. I even met few artists personally. I discussed with them. So this platform Nakshi you see today is a solution of all those problems. So those problems were like they didn't find any gallery to showcase their artwork. They had difficulties in auctioning their artwork. They had difficulties in reaching to the people, and with
time because they had other jobs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and with modern ways of doing business and in online marketing and all. So what we did with Nakshi was so basically Nakshi is a platform for showcasing your artwork in online gallery. So we have virtual art gallery on Nakshi, so where you will get real museum like experience. An artist can actually list their artwork, and the art buyers or art lovers can browse through as if they are walking through the gallery. So that we have virtual art gallery. Then we have auction tools, and we have tools where people can imagine how the artwork will look like in their home, like home studio.
Okay.
So
it's a virtual.
Yeah. So basically, we have made a platform for artists to to showcase their creations and reach out to the people, and people get benefited with our different innovative tools. And the criteria for selection of these artists is basically nothing, but we wanted to have free platform for artists, so we don't charge anybody anything, no listing fee, no subscription fee. And criteria is like we want to help people, those who are in most needy artists, I can say. I mean, I'm trying to reach out to people who are in real need and they're talented.
Yeah.
but they're not able to make it. So I don't want to go after, you know, the popular professional artists and, you know, waste my energy and time. So that's the reason I could reach out to the artists from tribal areas of India.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a place called Talasari in Thane district in Maharashtra. And there's a tribe called Varali tribe. They live there, the Kain community.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the Varali art is kind of one of the like traditional art, and it is vanishing and because of various issues. So I managed to get in contact with these people. Now 4 Varali artists are already there on Nakshi. We managed to get all their artwork on Nakshi. We got artwork from Madhubani, from Bihar, one of the district in Bihar.
So I just picked up on that. So you mentioned these are tribal areas of, you know, remote areas within London. So provided this is a digital marketplace, you know, what is their understanding of when you go and pitch them? Do they understand what internet is, or what, I don't know, I mean, how remote these areas are? Do they understand how these artwork would be sold on internet? What is their involvement on you know, collaborating with you to come onto that digital platform?
You ask very right question, because when I started talking to these people in the remote areas especially, and most part of India and some other developing countries, the only thing they know is they need to get some gallery to sell the artwork, and the physical galleries, offline galleries, they take a lot of commission. They just take like 70-80% of the money which artist deserves. So what basically I used to pitch them is, you what I can do is I can help you reach out to the people. I mean you don't need to bother with how I'm going to do it, like whether it is online internet marketing or whether it is a offline presence or online presence. Because what I told them is that I know the modern ways of doing business. I know the online, the technology behind all the online business, and I understand art as well, so I can help you pitch to the right people in the right way using modern tools and technologies, and you don't need to worry about anything. So some artists just blindly trusted me, and they said you can send photographer, or because some artists even they send me, you know, photographer through using their mobile or something which was not good quality in terms of showcasing and, you know, printing sometimes. So yeah, I could manage them by just, you know, asking them to give chance, because there's nothing to lose here. They're not, I'm not taking any money from anybody for subscription.
When you say you're not taking money from anybody, you're still charging or taking some commission, right?
Yeah.
On sell, but you're not asking them money up front to to list it or subscribe it.
Exactly.
But if and when it is sold, then you would take some commission on it.
Exactly. So what we are doing to monetize this, what we did is that we did two things. On the original artwork, we are not actually charging much. I mean, we are not taking any money upfront. And on the sale also, like when art galleries take like minimum 40% to 70% kind, which is like very strange thing for me. But 40% is the minimum standard in with many auction houses and art galleries. So we are taking only like 8%, that too after like 7 months. So first 6 months, you there's the commissions, I mean the selling commission part to monetize our platform is just start with 0% for first 3 months, then 5%, and then maximum it goes to 8%. So that we reduce that part significantly to make sure that artist get maximum he deserves. That first part. The other part we did for monetizing, and it eventually evolved. Actually, I didn't have clue how I'm going to monetize this. I just started blindly helping these artists. But then when I started discussing or going into commercial and how I can sustain and survive, I come up with this royalty model for artists. So what I'm doing, what the model we introduced to benefit both artists, so that we give maximum back to them. They give maximum returns on their labor, effort, skills. So we introduced a royalty model where artists, even without selling his original artwork, he can earn royalty for each print merchandise sold with his artwork. So even if his artwork is still with him, it is still being not sold to anybody, he can still continuously get we are sharing 50% markup with artists. So 50% margin or markup for each print product goes to artists. So without selling artwork, he can still earn continuous money, because one of the problem I discussed with many artists was they are able to sell their painting or one artwork or sculpture or any other thing. After they sell one artwork, there's a gap of like 4-6 months, and they because of these fluctuations in the selling cycle and not able to manage selling the artwork in time, has put a lot of financial burden on many artists. They are going through significant stress because of these fluctuations in the income. Right. And we try to solve that problem with this royalty model, so that they will continuously get money with print merchandise. Like, we have now more than 100 print merchandise to be, you know, made out of this artwork.
So who takes care of the print business?
So the print, yeah. So we manage print business in terms of we signed letter of intent and contract with 3 print textile printing and other digital printing companies in India. Mm-hmm. And we are tying up with one in UK and one in US now. Very soon we'll have paperwork sorted for that.
Right.
So all these 5 printing service partners are dedicated for us. So whatever customer places order for all this print merchandise, they do deliver this. I mean, they do all printing, fabric processing, stitching.
So it's your model is quite unique, Rahul, in the sense that you are empowering these artists.
Yes.
To not only sell the original products, but then also giving them the opportunity to
earn
broaden
continuously,
and give them a source of continuous livelihood, which is great. And the other thing that you talked about was the virtual aspect of your business, where essentially what you're trying to do is you're creating a one-stop shop where anybody who wants to come, they get original artwork.
Yeah.
It's a fair trade model for the artist.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah.
It's more rewarding for the person buying it.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, you can picture this in your house, so it ticks all the boxes. I think the most important question, which I think covers a lot of small independent businesses, how do you get the money? How do you sustain this business?
Yeah, so obviously when I started with my own money. I even have to sold my flat in Pune. It was a very bold decision, and my wife supported me with that. But yeah, I could raise money because I was so much passionate about helping these artists. And when we did this decision of selling this flat in Pune, I said in my mind that someday I'll try and monetize it and I'll make money. But I don't want to stop this now because of excuse of money or I don't want to slow down that whatever I started. So we did that. I put initially a lot of my own money. We started developing the product. Obviously, we gone back and forth on iterations of the product development, which costed a lot of, like, 3 times more money than developing normal website. And obviously, it resulted in a lot of delays as well. I mean, it took us 12 months for product development, for completing the platform.
Are you running this alone or do you have other partners?
No, I'm running this alone, but my wife is with me through all this journey.
Yeah.
As she really supported and encouraged me in taking this major step in my life. And I'm alone. I mean, I'm not having co-founders as such who could share my pain in the big initial years. But my wife, she supports me very well, and I share all my pain. And she encourages me a lot. So we got our initial money through this by selling flat in Pune. Then over the period, we still wanted to have office set up in Delhi as in southern hub to cater to operations. And that's what I was by our legal advisor as well for doing VAT registration and sale in India. Then we always wanted to register office in Bangalore as well, being a startup hub in India.
You want to continuously build a repository of artists as well.
Yeah, so exactly. So initially, to do the artist onboarding, I wanted few people who can work on support artists on onboarding, uploading the artwork. You know, if there are issues, they'll help them talking through the registration process and all that. So I had to hire a small team in Delhi and Bangalore, and to hire small offices, not big offices, but in addition to product development, all these expenses started 7 months or 8 months before we did now beta launch. So all these 7-8 months when there was no money coming, I had to pour money in for employee salaries, office rent, product development and everything. So what I did is I pitched to few individual investors as well. Like, they were not professional investors. I got good support from my friends, ex-office colleagues, and they helped me raise another good amount of money. And they trusted basically me. They didn't even bother to know what I'm doing. They just said, if you're doing, we know that you're going to make it happen. So they just blindly put money into this venture, and that helped me accelerate the product development and other bits, and we really come up very well in terms of numbers. And we now have more than 500,000 product. We have more than like 1,000 artists from 30 plus countries.
Mm-hmm.
So all these we could achieve, we got a very solid infrastructure, IT infrastructure, in terms of we got CDN content provider from Akamai, who is like world leader in content storage and delivery. And all big players like Airbnb to Netflix, who got a lot of database, they use Akamai, and big marketplaces as well. Even Amazon has got own services, but web services, but they use Akamai as in content delivery. So like that, we got Amazon web hosting, all good Akamai content service provider, and all security, data encryption, everything sorted, and all those costed obviously money, and because of with my friend's help as an angel investors, with and some of my own money, we could bootstrap it kind of till this point in time. But now to have enough runway for 12 to 18 months, we already engaged with few professional VCs. So Matrix Partners approached us last November. We told them to wait because we were not ready that time. Now they approached us again in the May, and we had the initial round of discussion. They are tracking us. They told us to keep them updated. We then again talking with another, I don't want to quote their name, but they're based in Canada, and we assigned initial papers with them, and we kind of in discussion in kind of getting the bridge investment till we get Series A, kind of pre-Series A investment, so which will help us having like to get the like 12 months to 18 months runway.
Mm-hmm.
And I see good prospectors because a lot of VCs and the investors are interested.
So VCs, so, the moment you introduce VCs, do you risk the fair trade model by any means?
Yeah, obviously, and that's the reason I delayed this the taking any investor on board. I mean, obviously, the angel investors are my friends, so they don't have any commercial interest out of it. They supported with money they have. So I delayed getting professional investment investor till this point, but obviously I realized that we need some injection in like few coming months to accelerate and you know manage the all expenses and this thing. So but whatever investors I spoken to, the first condition I had was I'm not going to change this model for any commercial interest. We can find some other ways of monetizing or making additional revenues, but I'm not going to charge anything to artists at any cost. And if you're okay with that, then only we'll discuss further, or otherwise we'll not discuss. That was the first thing. So not only now artists, I'm kind of helping a lot of broader creative community, like even emerging fashion designers.
Mm-hmm.
We are helping them with launching their designs, accessory designers, or I mean, we are kind of now, so we have broadened our spectrum to a wider creative community who is like talented but struggling to come to a platform where they can get notice and people can buy from them. So that is the first condition for investors to that we'll not change our model to and we'll not start charging them. We'll still keep them free,
yeah.
And
but
we'll find other ways.
Yeah,
exactly. And we can achieve the monetization and more commercial aspect with volumes and other streams of revenue.
So let me wear an artist hat for a second and ask a question from their shoes, so to speak.
Yeah.
So let's say I want to sell a pottery art.
Yeah.
And I'm based in London. I come on Nakshi website, register myself as an artist.
Yeah.
What shall I expect in terms of how do I sell that and what are my obligations?
So there's no obligation as such. When you say, when you upload any artwork, we ask several questions to you. So whether you want to sell only original artwork or you want to sell print merchandise, because when you want to sell print merchandise, we obviously explain them what is the benefits and of doing print merchandise, because that gives them continuous income, but that's optional. So we keep artist decides the prices, what price you want to sell his artwork. So it's not like gallery where they dictate what it should be sold.
Okay.
So artist decides the selling price. It is optional. It is the choice of artist whether you want to sell only the original artwork or the license prints as well, because license print involves him giving the license to us to reproduce that on different print merchandise. That is optional for artist. It is his choice. And third thing is with print merchandise, he can decide to which kind of print merchandise you want to print.
Okay.
And then we can market them accordingly, and we can get him enrolled for the royalty model, where he will get paid for the royalties. So there's no actually obligation as such.
But with the pricing, with the pricing that the artist sets, you are clear that it's going to be an 8% for Nakshi.
Yeah. So what?
Or around about there.
Yeah. So what we did is we want to keep this very much transparent and honest about it. So we have shared everything, all breakup on our artist portal. So if you go to artist portal, it shows the complete table where you can see how much is the selling price. If your selling price is, say, for example, £1,000, how much artists will get the exact breakup is given there, like what is the shipping cost, what is the payment processing cost, what is the selling commission, and what artists will get. So everything is transparently shared on the artist portal. And so we want to be very much clear and transparent about it. So we are not nothing hiding from them, and there's no obligation on getting enrolled, nothing to lose basically by getting enrolled on Nakshi, because we are not charging any subscription fee, we are not charging any listing fee. They can keep unlimited artwork. It is subscription free for the lifetime. And I don't think, there are anything to lose here.
So obviously you've got a platform ready. You have an idea which obviously conceptualized into a brand now. So very quickly explain to your audience, target audience, and also to the artist community, what other features they can expect in future from Nakshi which will benefit them.
So obviously when we planned this product launch, we have some of the features we include in the MVP product, which is now live. But there are some of the features will be coming in next phases. So in the current phase, artists will get features like virtual art gallery, home studio, which is for both art lovers, buyers and artists, where they can visualize the artwork. Then basically for designers, we have some features called like design your own fashion and design blast. For interiors, we have DIY tools where people can design their curtains to pillow covers to coasters on the dining table to anything. So from a consumer point of view, there are a lot of tools which can keep them engaging, and those are really innovative, and you can have bespoke products ordered out of Nakshi. But we just want to from customer's point of view, want to keep this as a curated platform for artistic, designer, handmade or creative, unique things. So they will, anybody who is interested in buying really these kind of products, they can always come on to Nakshi, and they'll see a lot of products and tools for them.
That's very interesting. I think it's been a most educating experience learning about art and how art can be really sold and in a fair trade manner. So thanks very much, Rahul, for sharing this with us. And both Gagan and I hope that you carve this out to be what you know every artist wishes, to be the best product in the marketplace. And it's a fantastic opportunity for artists. So take just a minute and introduce your website, and I'm sure a lot of people will be interested to visit it and explore it.
Yeah, so Nakshi is basically, as I mentioned, it is artistic, designer, handmade, vintage and unique, creative things. So Nakshi is all about this artistic, creative things. It is a curated platform. If you are interested for buying any thing related to art, fine art or antiques, designer fashion or designer accessories or interiors, so any creative things you find, you'll find around you, right from your wardrobe to what you from what you wear to where you live, and a lot of things like art, fashion, interiors and gifts. So gifts is another important section on our website where people can personalize, and they can choose any gifts and personalize it. They can choose and design the gifts from coffee mugs to t-shirts to photo frames, and a lot of personalization options are there. And people can even print their mobile cell phones and accessories. So Nakshi is all about creative things with the innovative tools. So if you are interested in buying those creative stuff, there's no platform like Nakshi.
And it's called Nakshi.com.
And it's called Nakshi.com. Yeah. So visit Nakshi.com and please make most of it. And I'll be happy to take your feedback for any improvements. We are still we are in the beta launch, so we are still onboarding feedbacks, and we are still open for all improvements. And we are trying to make it better place for customers and make better customer experience.
Great.
Thanks.
Rob, thank you very much.
Thanks
for coming
so much
and talking to us about.
And yeah, we wish you all the luck with Nakshi.
Thank you. Thanks, Gagan. Thanks, Vasila.
Hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. You can catch all upcoming episodes on the website globalize-asian.co.uk or via your iOS or Android devices. Also, if you wish to join us as a speaker and share your story, please do drop us a message via the contact form on the website. That's it for now from Gagan and Vatsala.
Thank you very much, guys, for listening to our podcast. A quick shout out to our supporter for the podcast, Royal Beans. Royal Beans is a premium artisan chocolate brand operating out of the city of Bangalore in India. Currently, they're offering Belgian chocolate bonbons infused with interesting flavors like cappuccino, masala chai, dark chocolate ganache, sea salt caramel, and many more. Just visit their website on royalbeans.in and order for yourself or get it delivered to your loved ones in major cities across India. As a listener of a podcast, you are entitled to get 10% discount on the order value when you use the code GLA10 at the checkout. So go ahead and check it out.